All right, Exodus chapter 19. And once again, welcome to Bible study. We are looking in the Holy Manuscript at probably one of the most important subjects in the whole Bible. And that has to do with obedience to the Most High Yah. And that's what I want to kind of title this lesson. And I want to talk about the importance of obeying our Most High Yah, Yahuwah. Now, when we observe the times, it is no doubt that based on what is going on worldwide amongst the Hebrew people, especially here in America, it is no doubt that we have entered into Jacob's trouble. It is a time that has been prophesied from the prophet Jeremiah, and this screen just went out. I don't know what is going on. But anyway, I got my lesson, so. It's a time that's been prophesied from the prophet Jeremiah. And we'll get to that in a moment. I had some verses pulled up. But I want to start this lesson by looking at Exodus chapter 19, because this is really where it all began. This is really where it all began. Watch this. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone out of the land of Egypt, is right here in the Bible, the same day they came into the wilderness of Sinai, for they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness. And there Israel encamped before the mount. And Moshe went up unto Elohim. And Yahuwah called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, tell the children of Israel, it's right here in the Bible, ye have seen what I've done, or what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if, all right, y'all need to see that because this is important. If you will obey my voice indeed. Now, you might want to underline that if it's not already underlined in your Bible, highlight it or something. If you will obey my voice indeed, that means completely, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. Do you see that in the Bible? Mm-hmm. That's not made up. That's in the Bible. For all the earth is mine. Watch this. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy set apart nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Did you hear Yah say that to them? He said, look, you already saw what I did. You see how I got you out of Egypt? Mm-hmm. It was almost like I flew you out on eagle's wings. And the idea is, while I tore Egypt up, I didn't let any of those plagues, none of the destroy, nothing touched you. You flew out of there. on eagle's wings. Mm-hmm. He said, now all I want you to do. Oh, I'm sorry. He said, and I brought you to me. And that idea is he rescued the children of Israel to be a people to himself, right? And he said, now, if you obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, you should be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people of the earth, for all the earth is mine. He said, I can make you my treasure because the whole world is mine anyway. I made it. And you'll be under me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak to the children of Israel. And Moshe came and called for the elders. Now, okay, Yah is talking to Moshe.
Right.
Right?
Right.
He said, okay. Moshe walks down the mountain, calls for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces what?
All these words which the Lord commanded.
He didn't hold nothing back.
Told it just the way it was told.
Yeah, just how he got it, he told it to them. Verse 8. And the people answered, together. That means everybody
in unity.
On one accord. Your ancestors, you Hebrew Israelites. This is your grandmama and grandpapa them in the wilderness. This is your bloodline. This is what they said. They said, all, do you see that right there? That Yahuwah has spoken, we will do.
That's what they said.
He got us out, Egypt. Now, up until then, it had been some rocky times for the children of Yisrael.
Right.
Hundreds of years in the brickyards, serving Pharaoh, being killed and persecuted, calling on the name of the Most High. He hears them. He delivers them. And then some of them Hebrews wanted to go back. Remember when they came to the Red Sea? Reed Sea. He split the Red Sea. Y'all know the story. They got over on dry land. Pharaoh's army got drowned in the sea. Hallelujah. That's why later on we told Mary, don't weep.
Don't weep.
And Martha, don't moan. In other words, ain't nothing too hard for the Most High Yah if he could drown Pharaoh and his army in the sea. They made it over the other side. They sang songs. But then they complained about the water being bitter. He turned it sweet. They complained about no bread. He dropped bread down from heaven. They complained about no meat. He gave them birds flying so low they hit them with a stick. And then they could gather the birds they wanted. They talked about we don't have no water out here. He brought forth water from a rock. Are y'all still in it? I'm just trying to show you. They got in trouble with a battle, but the only thing they had to do was keep Moshe's hands up.
Right.
While they went down and fought in the valley, he was on the mountain. Yah whooped the enemies. They finally made it to Mount Sinai. And he said, Moses, come here. I got to talk to you for a minute. He said, okay, yes. Now, you know I brought y'all out of Egypt, African Egypt, like you was on eagle's wings. And I've taken care of you. Now, I got a proposition. I desire these people to be my people. This nation to be my nation. So that I can make of them a kingdom of priests. Now, that's I'm going to make of them, I'm going to turn them into the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Only thing I'm asking for them to do is just take heed to my word and follow me, and everything's going to be cool. Moses says, all right, I'll go ask them. So he comes down the mountain. Hey, I just talked to Yahuwah, the deliverer who got y'all out of Egypt. And who fed you and clothed and got you out and water from a rock. And y'all know the whole. He says, and he has a proposition for you. He wants to make you his people and turn you into a kingdom of priests and set you above every nation on planet Earth. It's in the Bible. These Hebrews heard, I'm going to use this word, the proposal from the Most High Yah. It's in your Bible. And all the people answered and said, all. That's what tripped me out. They said, all that Yahuwah has spoken, we will do. And Moshe returned the words of the people to who? Yahuwah. He was the mediator. Mm-hmm. The Most High said, go ask them if they want to be my people. Since I've done everything for them, there's one requirement, they got to obey me now. So he said, okay. He went down and said, hey, y'all know he brought you out. And you got out like, oh, eagles. Man, he been feeding you. You ain't got no money. I mean, you didn't have to buy no bread. You have to bread. And he said, do you want to? And they said, everything he says, we will do.
Right.
And he went back and he told Yah that the people on one accord said, all that Yah has spoken, we will do. All right. Skip down. Because he goes back up to the mountain, and that's a crazy experience right there. The mountain was shaking, and it was pretty heavy.
Right.
And so we know what was going on. The Most High Yah was gonna now give the commandments about what he was saying, what he's gonna tell the people that they said they would do. He's gonna tell them now what he wants them to do.
Right.
Chapter 20. And Yah spake all these words, saying, number one, I am Yahuwah your Elohim, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other else before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Yahuwah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children until the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of Yahuwah thy Elohim in vain, for Yahuwah will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Remember the Shabbat day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou do labor and all thy works, but the seventh day is the Sabbath unto Yahuwah thy Elohim. In it thou shalt do no work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy maidservant, nor thy manservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate. For in 6 days Yahuwah made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore Yahuwah blessed the Shabbat and hallowed it. Honor your father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which Yahuwah thy Elohim giveth thee. Hallelujah. That idea means that you stay in the land. Mm-hmm. 13. Thou shalt not kill. Mm-hmm. This is the agreement. He said, okay, here's my words to you. Don't kill each other. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. What? And all the people saw the thunderings, the lightnings, the noise of the trumpet in the mountain smoking. When the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moshe, speak thou with us, we will hear. But let not Yahuwah speak with us, lest we die. Moshe said unto the people, fear not, for Yahuwah has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. Sin is the transgression of the law. So he said, he said not. All right, here we go. And the people stood afar off. Moses drew into the thick darkness where Yahuwah Elohim was. Now, so he's up there receiving the rest of chapter 20, 21, 22, 23. All right. Get to chapter 24.
and Moses. And he said unto Moshe, come up unto Yahuwah, thou, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moshe alone shall come near Yahuwah, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moshe came, watch this, and told the people all the words of Yahuwah and all the judgments. So what did he get? All these words and all these judgments, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. What does it say right there? And all the
people answered with one voice.
What'd they say?
And said,
he's your ancestors now. I'll show you where this all started. What'd they say?
All the words which the Lord has said, we will do.
Second, before he got the words, they said it. Once he got the words and came down and revealed them to the people, they said, everything Moses said we'll do. And Moshe wrote all the words of Yah and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill. 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel, which represents all of Israel. Mm-hmm. And then he killed a lamb and made a sacrifice. All right. So man, you spent a long time, Reb, just going through that verse. Why did you do that? I want to share where it all started. These Hebrews, Israelites, fresh out of slavery, said, everything Yah says, I'm talking about our ancestors. They told Moshe in front of the Most High Yah, everything he says, we're going to do it. So you sure about that? Yeah. All right. Let me go tell him. Moses goes up and tell him, say, hey, man, I mean, Yah, the people said they ain't all in. He said, really? Well, come on up, man. Since they all in, let me give you, here's my words, here's my instruction. I told you what chapters they were, all right?
Right.
Rest of chapter 20, 21, 22, 23. 24, he comes back down the hill, you know, got the tablets, and they all shining and pretty. And got the. And the people, again, say the exact same thing. I want you to understand that they made a commitment. Not too long ago, we were talking about Shavuot, which is the feast that's coming up now. And it is the feast that honors this commitment. Yah turned this day into a feast day. I believe, didn't you get married on Shavuot?
Yes, I went.
This day was turned into a feast day because the acceptance of the laws of Yah is the same as marriage vows. I will be your husband, and Israel, you will be my bride. And here's our vows. This is the Most High. I wrote the vows. So all I want to know is if you're going to obey what I say as my vows. And they say yes. So just like a wedding, all right? Will you have me as your only Elohim? Because you know I'm the one brought you out of Egypt. You was a slave getting tore up back there. But hey, I went and got you 10 miracles strong and delivered you on eagle's wings. Mm-hmm. Will you promise to never have another God? In other words, will you promise to never cheat on me?
Right, that's what they're saying.
They said, we promise. It's just you and us, oh Yah.
Everything you say, we're
going to. Everything. All right, you promise. Okay, I know you're not going to. You promise not to keep no pictures of your ex-boyfriend in your wallet. You promise that you're not going to have his number in your iPhone or none of that kind of stuff. You're not going to be out somewhere making little images of him so you can be reminded of him or trying to make an image of me based on something you done seen, because I'm not to be compared to nothing like that. Oh, no, yeah, we won't do that. We won't do that. You promise not to take my name in vain? Because once you get my name, your name ain't going to mean nothing no more. Matter of fact, you're going to have to lose your personal name. You're going to be known now as the children of the Most High, Yah. Children of Yisrael, which represents the Israel, has to do with the Prince of Yah. That's what Israel means. Don't just take my name any kind of way. My daddy used to say that to me all the time when I was young. I never understood it. Don't you go out there messing up my name. Or the reason why you can't act a fool, because, you know, I don't want my name looking bad. I'm like,
right.
I'm talking about your name. What do you care about? I didn't realize that what he was saying was, I'm going to represent him. So understand that.
Right.
So Yah's telling Israel that. As people look at you, that will be their image of me. So don't take my name in vain. We won't take your name in vain. We in. Once a week, Israel, on the Shabbat, I want to have a date with you. 6 days you can work all you want, but on that seventh day you give that to me. All right, I don't want clouding that day up with nothing. You give me the Shabbat, because when I worked, I put together the whole earth, heaven and earth, and everything that is in them. And on the seventh day I rested, and I set that day apart. I hallowed the day, and therefore I want my people to also hallow the day in honor of my work of creation. And then you and I would just hang out on that day. So, isn't that a good thing for a couple to do? Mm-hmm. Once a week, we let everything else go and just be me and you. Oh, yeah, that's great. Good instructions. So far, so good. You done said I do to everything. I do. I do. I do. Honor your mom and daddy. Got it. Don't commit adultery. Got it. Don't steal. Got it. Don't covet. Got it. Don't bear false witness. Don't go around lying, talking about you my wife, and you turn into a liar or an adulterer or a thief. You know what I mean? They were like, man, we good. They agreed to everything. There was not one voice of protest.
Not one.
The Bible says, and they all. With one consent, one voice, said everything you say, we in. Now, James, it's just me and me, the only brothers in here tonight, but think about this. This girl you saw, you've been seeing her since she was young. She grew up and she was being beat down by the world, mistreated on the bottom rung of society. And then for some reason, we fall in love with her and be like, wow, I can rescue her. We go out and whoop the enemy and rescue, feed her, clothe her, dress. And then after a while, we make a proposal. And she's so happy to be free, and she's out the ghetto. She out of the she out the hood. She out of Mizraim, African Egypt. She ain't got to make no more brick with no without straw and all that kind of stuff. Her family ain't going to be out there getting killed and all that now. She's safe. And on her way to a promised land. And on the way, you say, before we go one step further, I want to propose to you. And she says, huh? Yeah, I want to propose to you. I want to ask you, would you take me to be your only Elohim? And I'll tell you what I'll do in return. I'll make you my queen. You'll be royalty to the whole world. Matter of fact, you'll be so set apart that the whole world will know you're special because of your relationship with me. I'm going to take care of you for life now. I just got some rules. I just went over them. I got 10 basic rules to this marriage. I got to be your only. That's the first. I got to be your only. I'm not going to marry you if you're going to be still out, you know, doing the do. Yeah, with other fellas and all that. She was so happy. She was like, I'm doing it all. I said, okay, cool. And then after you presented all the Ten Commandments, then you present all the explanation of the Ten Commandments so there'd be no misunderstandings. You read them to her again, and she say, I'm in. Like, I'm, man, let's do this thing. So you get married. That's your wife now. And she made a promise. Y'all made a promise, she made a promise. Them Hebrews start walking through the wilderness. Okay. They start walking through the wilderness, right? And I'm just going to pick out a couple stories. And they get to Kadesh Barnea, which is literally one river crossing from the husband's house, from the promised land, from the crib. I mean, you know, you got married outside, but you know, out in the wilderness. But he's gonna bring you to his to the place that he's prepared for you with milk and honey and vineyards you didn't plant and orchards you didn't plant and houses you did not build. And he said, now when you go over there, it's going to be, I'm going to have to do some warring, but don't worry about it. I'll fight all the battles. I'll clear the land out for you. And they got over there, and before they even got in the land, they came back and told Moses, Yah don't care about us. He brought us here to kill us. And it wouldn't be so bad if he was just going to kill us, the men. But he also wants to kill the women and the children. And y'all was like, this can't be happening. She just told me that she was all in. Now we're trying to get her to the house, and she don't want to step in the house. And you know what ended up happening, right? He basically told that first crowd, he said, I'll tell you what, none of y'all get in there. It was some other stuff that happened between.
Right.
But I just want to, overall, he told Moses, turn around, walk that way. No, turn right here. Turn right here. Turn right here. Turn right. So, man, all these rights seem like we're going in circles. Okay, well, turn left. Turn left. Turn left. Most High, we still in a circle. Yeah, I'm going to keep walking you until every single person who stood up and made that vow falls in the wilderness. But the kids, 20 years and under, came out. They can go in. So it took 40 years. About a two-week journey. Once they got in the promised land, I don't want to tell the whole Bible story, but once they got in the promised land, they had issues, but they were claiming the land for themselves.
Yeah.
And of course, Joshua was a great military general, and he settled the land. They had a few problems with, you know, Achan. I taught that lesson before. Mm-hmm. You know, Negroes love clothes, and Hebrews stole the clothes from the Babylonians.
Yeah.
But we took care of that. Oh, man, we heard from the Most High, and we handled him real quick. Well, no big deal, man. We set up in the wilderness. I mean, in the Holy Land, the Promised Land. The process of time, the people said, we don't want Yah. No, that ain't what they said. They actually said, we don't like this whole our king is invisible thing. We want one we can see. And the prophet Samuel said, I don't understand. What do you mean? Well, the nations around us, they all got their kings out here. They can brag on they, you know, they can see them, but we following the Most High. And some of like, you guys got to be joking, right? Because our king is the king of the universe, and he has kept all of his promises. Fought all your battles. He's feeding you. He said, man, look where y'all living. You never lived this good in your whole life. I don't understand what you're doing. And the Most High, Samuel was crying like a baby, and the Most High said, hey, Samuel. It ain't about you, man. It's about me. What do you mean it's about me? I don't know what's wrong with Israel, but they just won't stay straight. They won't stay right. I've only asked them to do one thing I've never changed, to obey me, and I've told them what to do. I've never changed my laws. I've never changed my precepts. I have not one time, like, tricked them and showed them something. You know, no, I laid it all out in writing, exactly what I wanted, and they can't keep that. He says, so go ahead, let them have a king. They think that having somebody else is going to make it better on them. But I promise you, with a human king, they're going to go worse. And it happened. Yeah. Right? Now let me fast forward. All right? Of course, you know, Saul is the first king because, you know, he's tall and handsome and bigger than everybody. And they're like, ooh, we want him. And he ended up going to see a witch. Then the second king was David, who actually was after Yah's own heart. Great man, unified the kingdom, had the children of Israel turn back to Torah, and they walked after the ways of the Most High Yah, and Yah blessed them, just like he said he would, because he was working through David. But right after David, you had Solomon, who basically rent the kingdom. You know, he multiplied horses, and he multiplied wives, and he multiplied riches and wealth. At the expense, I mean, you can have prosperity, but at the end of a great prosperous time, it's going to be a depression. And you know, Solomon was living it up so cold-blooded, they said that gold was like stones and pebbles, and silver was like dust. It was flowing like that.
So he had it going.
Oh, my goodness, parties every night. Boy had 700 wives. And 300 concubines. That's girlfriends. Whether it was or not, that's how he got out. And if the king was rolling like that, everybody else was rolling. Maybe I've been rolling like as much as that. But what did Solomon do that made him go down in history?
He brought in the paganism.
He brought in, which was the violation of the first law. No other God. He brought in into the house of the Most High.
Trying to please all them wives.
Yeah.
And
worshiping idol God.
And ever since then, Israel has had a problem with idolatry. We can't stop. And now, I'm going to fast forward because I'm 32 minutes in. I told you I want to do some time. So let me pause this real quick. All right. So, let's look at Jeremiah chapter 30, and really, we're going to look at verse 7. It's a very interesting passage, but I want to start at verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from Yahuwah, saying, thus speaketh Yahuwah Elohim of Yisrael, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For, lo, the days cometh, say Yahuwah, that I will bring again the captivity of my people. All right. Something has happened to his people where they ended up in captivity. Mm-hmm. And he's saying, there's going to come a time when I'm going to bring them back. All right. Israel and Judah, saith Yahuwah, and I will cause them to return where?
To the land.
That I gave to who?
Their fathers.
And they shall possess it. You see it?
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. There is a time coming where he's going to give us back the land. The question is, why do we get kicked out the land? Disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the words that Yahuwah spake concerning Israel, concerning Yehuda, because both of us coming, both they had split into two tribes.
Right.
But we're coming back as one family. For thus saith Yahuwah, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Wait a minute, this is surrounding that time. Ask ye now and see. Whether a man doth travail with child. Does a man have a baby? No. Do men go through birth pains like a woman? No. All right. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail? and all faces are turned into paleness. He's like, wait, women don't suffer like that. Men don't suffer like women, and, right? So what's going on? Why am I looking prophetically into the future and I see men going through pains and trembling like a woman in birth pains? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Do you see it in your Bible? Mm-hmm. So what we're seeing today is a result of our disobedience to the Most High. That's where I was going with this whole obedience thing. I have a lot of verses, but I don't want to do, I'm not going to do them all on tonight. I just want you to know that there has never been a time when the Most High said, okay, now it's okay not to obey me.
No, no.
It was our disobedience that caused our forefathers to fall in the wilderness. It was our disobedience that caused us to get kicked out the Holy Land and go into Babylonian captivity. It was our disobedience that enabled the Europeans to come down as the Greeks and the Romans. And then our disobedience, when our Hamashiach got here, Yahushua, instead of obeying him like he said and returning to the Most High, because that was his job, he was here to turn us back to Yah. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm not here to destroy the law. I'm not here to destroy the marriage contract. Mm-mm. I'm here to fulfill it. As a matter of fact, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Same commandments he gave to the children of Israel. Mm-hmm. There's never been a new set of commandments.
Never.
The same commandments he's been given to every single generation. And the generation, one generation will do good for a minute, then they'll act a fool, die, and then their kids end up in captivity. And the last time it happened, 70 AD, they rejected Hamashiach, our ancestors. And he said, all right, you're going to go into a terrible captivity. And we read it a little bit on last Sunday, and I won't go into it today, but you got to read Deuteronomy. If I had time tonight on this Bible study, I would show you Deuteronomy chapter 28 starts off with the blessings.
Right.
About 14, 15 verses of just pure blessings. Then you get to 15 through 68. I'm going to show you exactly what's going to happen to you if you disobey. And every single thing that he prophesied would happen to us, including going over the Atlantic Ocean, which they had never seen in their life. Mm-hmm. They had never been on a ship in their life.
Never.
Throughout the history of our people up at that time. And then it all came to pass when? After we rejected the Hamashiach. So we were over here for 400 years in captivity. He said, but I'm going to bring you back. But before I bring you back, you're going to have to sit there and watch Jacob or the true children of Israel go through a time of trouble. Well, their life won't mean nothing. Just like Deuteronomy says, they'll lay in the streets like dung. They won't know. When it's day, they'll wish it was night. When it was night, they wish it was day. Their lives will hang in the balance.
Yeah.
And on and on. And we see that as we approach the return of the Most High Yah. Mm-hmm. And then you got preachers and teachers, mores and rabbis like myself, who Yah is raising up to say, the reason we are suffering like this is we've left the holy manuscript. We ain't obeying nothing.
Nothing.
After all that slavery, after all that beating and all that,
yep.
all that Jim Crow and all that prejudice and all that lynching and killing and raping and pillaging and starving us out and cutting off our water and throwing the scraps, and you would think as a nation we would have been like, I turn to Most High Yah with my whole heart. But he says it's just like in Isaiah, an ox don't know his owner. I mean, an ox knows his owner, an ass his master's crib, but my people, they don't know, they don't even consider. So I have to try telling them, hey, y'all Hebrews. Nah, we Buddhists. No, man, y'all not even. No, we down with Baphomet. They throwing up devil signs. No, I'm a blood nigga. Say, hey, man, we the children of Israel. You still killing your babies and still selling each other crack and still shooting up each other. Man, what's wrong with y'all? You do know that the Most High is coming back, right? And before he gets back, we would enter the time of Jacob's trouble. And here we are. I remember when I was a child, folks used to say, if I was living back in them days when they were doing Negroes like that, I'd be done, blah, blah, blah. And here the days done came back upon us. And what can we do? Read Deuteronomy. He said, you'll be powerless against your enemy. Do you understand that marching, I ain't going to cuss, but you know marching ain't going to do nothing, right? You're going to burn up a couple of buildings that got insurance. Man. Right. These folk took out insurance before you burnt the building. They're going to replace everything they had and get some money put in their pocket.
Yep. And you're going to be in jail.
Right. Right. Plus you're going to get a good beating on the way there.
That's right. Let's see whether or not this is just an isolated situation, but we see it in the Bible more than once. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. Now we're going, now you know Daniel is during Babylon. Jeremiah was trying to preach to the folk before they went into captivity, but you know they didn't listen, so they ended up going. And then the Most High raised up Daniel. And he spoke about it. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of Israel, of thy people. And there shall be a time of, talk back, trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written
in the book.
Matthew 24, 21. I know I got y'all doing some biblical calisthenics.
24, 21?
Uh-huh. Let's start at 21. That's a good one. Read it.
For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
And except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. I just want you guys to see that this time that was prophesied is real. The Messiah even mentions it. The time of Jacob's trouble. And it's all because of one reason. It's not economics. It's not education. It's not the slums. It's not the hood. It ain't because it's a lack of churches, because you know it's a church on every corner in the hood.
Yeah.
Ain't the lack of food, because we the fattest people on the planet. Men and women. I'm trying to tell you, we are the fattest people. And it's not because, I mean, a lot of stuff that you would think would be our trouble is not our trouble. Our trouble is disobedience to the Most High. Yeah. I don't care how many programs this government throws at our community. Nothing is going to work except obeying the Most High Yah.
Can't work.
I don't care if y'all get together, sing We Shall Overcome. I don't care. I don't care if the president comes. I don't care if all the community leaders get together until Yisrael returns back to this manuscript. They're going to suffer Jacob's trouble. And I know it sounds bad. Some of them will never be conscious of even who they are, because when you try to tell them, hey, you do know you Jacob did first. No, I'm not.
No.
I'm an African Hamite.
They don't even want to hear.
He said, well, you do know that the truth of the matter is you came over on a slave ship that was prophesied in the Holy Manuscript. Oh, no, no, that ain't us. Well, then, who are you then? I don't know. I guess I'm from Africa's a continent.
Right.
It's not a city.
Right.
It's not a state. It's not a country. It's a continent. You got to do better than just saying Africa. Where? Because everywhere you go ask the man, is that you? He'll tell you no.
Right.
Ask him, are you a Moroccan? No, no, baby, you're not Moroccan.
You're not
really. Well, am I Egyptian? No, you're not an Egyptian. Well, am I Ghanaian? No, baby, you're not. But I thought you picked my... Yeah, I know, but you're not a Ghanaian. Well, am I a Nigerian? I'll just be a Nigerian. No, you're not a Nigerian.
Not like
ask the man. Well, am I from the Sudan? Am I Sudanese? No, not exactly, son. Okay, you told me you got me from Africa. So where in Africa? And they will tell you, we don't know, but they lie. We got ran out the Holy Land in 70 AD. We ran to North Africa first. Then when the pressure got on us from the Muslims and others, we ran and hid into West Africa and Central Africa. And that's where the Hamites once again sold us.
Right, they were dwelling there.
Out of their land, they were tired of us being there anyway. In exchange for some brown liquor and mirrors. I'm just kidding. So you would think that a message like mine, and I'm not talking about mine, I'm talking about the one that the Most High gave me, would be the message that our people is waiting to hear.
Instead.
But I'm trying to tell you, man, instead they just keep bowing the knee to Baal. They're not going to stop worshiping false gods. They're not going to follow the Most High. They are not going to get rid of their traditions. They're like this. If these things are going to take us to hell, then we just going to hell then.
And what a thing to say.
It's ridiculous.
What a way to believe. The attitude.
It's ridiculous.
It's worthy of death. It's worthy of death.
But ain't that where we are now?
Yeah.
Do you think the march is going to do any good?
Nope.
Now imagine this. What if you would have had 35,000 people on the street bowing down their knee to the Most High Yah and making a commitment to Him that we're going back to study Torah and to be placed in our rightful place with Him, because He said in the book of 2 Chronicles. Let me close with this. For some reason, Solomon knew that the people were wicked. He said, "These are people." He said, "I'm praying to you, but I'm not gonna pray with pretense. These folk is stiff-necked. They disobedient. They hard-hearted. I'm gonna pray for them anyway.
Will you hear them?
But already know you're going to have to send war and famine and pestilence and all that because of their disobedience. But it's what I'm going to ask you one thing on this day. If you're doing all that, sending the pestilence, the flood, and all that, and if they're in captivity, if they're not even here, if they're in the land of their captors, if they would just turn toward this place and seek your face and pray, my only request is, will you hear their prayers? Mm-hmm. You ought to read it. It's a beautiful passage. It's like three chapters long, two chapters long, but the whole scene is like three or four chapters. And he actually waits till the whole feast is over, the Most High. And he comes to him like personally. Solomon. Yes, Most High. Number one, that's pretty cool what you did. This house is tight. I mean, it's too little for me, but it's tight. You did the best you could. I appreciate that. And the sacrifices and stuff, I accepted them. But let's get down to the nitty gritty. Let's talk about that prayer you made.
Very crafty. No.
I've been thinking about what you said. I'll make a deal. That's cool. Yes, I'll answer. I don't care where they are or what I'm doing. If I've sent pestilence and they look to this place and pray, I'll pull off the pestilence. If I send the locusts and they look to this place, I'll turn the locusts. If I put them in captivity and they look to this place, I'll get them out of captivity. If they're being attacked by the enemy, but they turn and look to this place, I will fight their battle. Matter of fact, if my people who are called by my name, which is humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I promise I will, he says, I will, I'll hear from heaven. That's what we need. I will forgive their sins. And I'll heal their land. What land? The land I gave them. I'll fix the whole situation. Where is the pastors, quote unquote, in Detroit, in California, anywhere saying, that ain't the way we're supposed to do it, y'all. The Most High said we got to turn back here. Mm-hmm. Oh, but what about the, now we got the boys liking boys. They're not going to turn back here. We don't want to offend nobody by turning back. Then you keep dying in the street then.
We're going to lose money.
Yeah, what about the women that's still killing their babies? You know, y'all don't like that. Then stop killing your babies.
Right.
Oh, we can't. By the way, all them pagan festivals, we got to cut that foolishness out. Start walking in Torah. No. Matter of fact, what we need to do is all bow our knee toward Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Not because we pray to a city, but because he promised our people if we would just acknowledge that place mm-hmm. in our prayer, he would hear us. But has there been any national cry for anybody to do that during this time?
No.
I only know just me and maybe three other pastors in the nation telling the world that the solution is obedience to the Most High, not church. Because church got all kinds of stuff. We got 41,000 different denominations.
That's right.
No, I'm saying the answer to our problem is turning to the Most High. But the reality is we ain't going to turn. That's the truth. Because the Most High already saw the fact that is only going to be a very few people called the remnant.
Everybody is too worried about
everybody else.
You're going to recognize me. You're going to see me. But they're not saying y'all going to recognize my father and you're going to see him. Like that's the attitude we should be having. Mm-hmm. When people start rising up against us or, you know, what they're doing now. We need to stop trying to get on the front line and say, look at me, y'all gonna do this to me, blah, 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 because it ain't about you.
Right.
It's never about them.
Never. Right.
So, I just wanted to.
We need to realize y'all doing this to my father, and look, we gonna be obedient to our father, and like he said he would do, he's gonna come back here and fight this.
He's gonna protect us if we would just bow down. I'm telling you, if all them folks in them streets would have put them rocks down.
Man.
And bowed down.
And maybe turned to the rock of their salvation. And bowed and started calling on the name of the Most High Yah. Yahuwah. As revealed in the Holy Manuscript. And Yahushua his son. I promise you. They don't even know what the Most High would have done in fighting their battles. The earth could have opened up where those enemies were.
Like the sons of Korah.
I'm trying to tell you, man, we don't know. We're not even trying to tap into the power of the Most High to destroy our enemies before our face.
Giving us opportunity. And this is going to sound ridiculous, but I think that Yah is allowing these opportunities to happen and allowing these things to be televised because he wants the whole world to see that they're not obeying me. And it's not until they do, it will be, but the whole world will see.
That's the part. I know I went a long ways because this goes out worldwide. When I post this, it's going out all over the world. But that was the point I was getting to. See, when we made that commitment that we was going to be his bride, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now we're out here misrepresenting who he is. He said, I'm not going to hold him guiltless.
Right.
Are you serious? You represent me. So if I have to allow you to go through this trouble so people will realize that that's a disobedience that's causing this, I ain't got no problem doing that. Oh, but now don't get it twisted. The folk who are doing it to them,
they're gonna get beat.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna take them out too.
Too.
Oh yeah, they're gonna come out. But the average so-called black man, Hispanic, black man and whoever, the true bloodline descendants. Not only are we unconscious, but when you bring to them consciousness and tell them the solution is Torah. Oh, no, I didn't do that, man. You mean give up bacon? You crazy, man. You're like, dude, the Most High just wants us to turn from our wicked ways. Now, next week, I'll talk about this. No, not next week, because Brad will be here. The week after that, I want to show you all of the verses in the Bible, well, not all, but a lot of verses in the Bible that talk about how we're supposed to obey Yah's word. Because for some reason, we think we can be saved without obeying Yah. It's an oxymoron. And I'll explain it to you. I wanted to get into it today, but obviously, time is up. Any questions or comments?
No, this was good.
Embarrassing.
It is. To see the condition of our people.
Yeah.
The chosen people of the Most High to see us and to see once again the whole world focused on us.
Yeah. And look at how they acted.
It's the whole world.
But it's giving the remnant though a platform that's never ever been had, because when we are talking to other people, we can say, like, this is because of obedience. They are neglecting their father.
Right. Remember when he said, though, he would put us above all the nations so that everybody... Once again, we make it headlines. Yeah. Man, they taking us out like target practice.
Yeah.
And every single time they take one of us out, the police gets acquitted. The powers that be get off. These heathens not even getting a trial. They getting acquitted. And it ain't going to stop because it's a good old boy network.
Right.
You can't acquit one. You got to do them all. So they have to just keep letting them go.
Right. That's how the law is set up. You can't. I read something stupid online today. But it made sense. But I don't know if the person knew what they were saying. They're talking about how everybody was like keeps on bringing up that whole black on black crime thing because there's more black on black.
That's part of our sins too. That's part of our sin.
But they're not realizing that every time a black person kills another black person, that person goes to jail. Like that person goes to trial. Like,
but if you're right. But if we, yeah, it's definitely unfair. All right, I'm going to end this lesson. I hope that it's something was said to stimulate our thoughts and that would help wake up the 12 tribes worldwide to be obedient to the Most High Yah. Shalom, shalom.